Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We are weeks away from Christmas, so the late Thanksgiving ushers in December, and boy, did we get the perfect start to the month if you're looking through the lens of an NFL broadcast and a Sunday night game that was played in blizzard conditions. The lake effect snow, if you're familiar with it, on the NBC broadcast that I think not only was able to showcase what the Bills are capable of as they continue their win streak, but the broadcast that I think just had a lot of fun with the snow and guys sliding all over the place and the high stepping, but having to be careful when you turn the corner, just getting a lot of those images from what was another walloping. And it wasn't just in Buffalo, in different places in Northeast Ohio, the upper Midwest, so along the Great Lakes, and seeing, in some places, no joke, nearly 5 feet of snow. I'm not joking. Nearly 5 feet. Now, that's the extreme, but this was dropping 2 inches of snow per hour. It was coming down hard. And so in Buffalo, they're used to it. The Niners, maybe not so much. I just think it was the perfect showcase for the start of December and the final full month of the NFL regular season, even with now playoff spots being clinched. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope you had a tremendous Thanksgiving with family, with friends who are like family. Maybe you're making extra money and working double time, working overtime and making time and a half. The food, the fun, certainly the football, one of the best football weeks of the year. And we haven't really been able to scratch the surface with college. We will, like a Georgia victory that required 8 overtimes. That's obscene. 8 overtimes. I dislike college football overtime so much, but it shows you how tense the game was. And the Bulldogs had to rally, but they're into the SEC championship against the Texas Longhorns in their first year as a member of the conference. Oregon remains undefeated and will play against Penn State in the Big Ten championship. Okay, also weird. So coming up is conference championship week. And then, of course, the final college football playoff rankings. But the first ever that will feature a dozen teams to do all of the various things that the power conferences want them to do, which is attract more attention, keep more teams in the mix, obviously keep us on the hook, but also make gobs of money with this expanded playoff. So all this is happening in December. And then the NFL, as I say, playoff spots being clinched and coaches getting fired. It's all of those things. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. If you're looking for our Monday MVP poll, it has been posted. Also on our Facebook page, though we didn't have a chance to find a gift that's something along the lines of Thanksgiving pants. I was thinking, I can't use Thanksgiving spread anymore, though I dare say a lot of you still have leftovers. We ate ours Saturday and Sunday. Or no, I'm sorry, Friday and Sunday, and we're done with leftovers now. But I love, love, love leftovers in all caps. I was, in fact, yelling it on social media. If you still have leftovers, awesome. I think we have one piece of pumpkin pie left. That's it. But general rule of thumb, if you get to Monday after Thanksgiving and you haven't put on 10 pounds, I think you're ahead of the game. With all the heavy starches, even vegetable dishes, like a green bean casserole being bathed in sour cream and butter and anything that makes it heavy fat, heavy delicious, heavy on the delicious. What was your favorite dinner at, or your favorite dish at Thanksgiving, Pete?
I would say, you know what? The stuffing. The stuffing that my uncle-in-law prepares is excellent. He prepares a couple of versions of it, one with cranberries, and there's one without cranberries, and a couple of vegetables. That is probably my favorite dish of the whole dinner part of.
My husband did a tremendous sweet potato dish. So not marshmallows, but a lot of like a brown sugar glaze. Ugh, it was so good. I made three desserts. There were only four people at our Thanksgiving, and we had three desserts. Apricot bars, oatmeal apricot bars, a pumpkin pie that was awesome. If you haven't seen the photo, I was really proud of it. It came out perfectly. No fires this year.
That's right.
Yeah, so check it out at A-Law Radio. And then also made walnut apple crisp in the crock pot. And on Sunday, my hubs was finishing up the walnut apple crisp, and I couldn't even see it because it was covered with Ready Whip. It was just buried in Ready Whip. But that's it. It's Thanksgiving weekend. You go crazy, and if you get out with putting on 10 full pounds, well, you're in good shape.
Well, I think the thing we've talked about before, heading in for you at least, was the turkey. And the turkey went off without a hitch.
It did. Great. I mean, we scrambled a bit at the end just because everything's happening all at once and the sides are still being prepared. And there's thankfully, I have two ovens, a double oven. So there are two ovens in use, and somebody turns off one means to turn off the other one. And then a dish is left in there without the heat, blah, blah, blah. But the turkey was good. He was pretty small. I think we wish we had gotten a bigger one only because we would have loved more leftover turkey. It's my favorite. Plenty of gravy. That went well. The turkey, I would say slightly, just like very slightly overcooked, meaning some of the white meat was drier. But since I put salt and gravy on it, I couldn't care less if it's a little dry because it tastes great with gravy. And the dark meat was perfect. So yeah, I'd forgotten that my oven cooks a little quicker. Even with baked goods, I have to pull them out before the recipe indicates. But everything was delicious, and it was great to have family. Our first time hosting a Thanksgiving at our place in Jersey, so it was awesome. And we hope that you all had an awesome Thanksgiving as well. Now we're on to December and a different holiday season, and boy, the perfect way. As I mean, I couldn't have dreamed anything better than week 13 in Orchard Park, New York, with a heavy snow falling. Whether or not the Niners are comfortable playing with it, I think we saw Christian McCaffrey early on before he got hurt. He found some traction in the snow, even as it's coming down hard. But what we know about the Bills is they actually have no trouble playing in the snow. In fact, if you listen to Sean McDermott's postgame, just rant, raving in the locker room. He's all excited, of course. He's talking about how when other teams are uncomfortable, this is our comfort zone. I'm paraphrasing for him. Certainly Josh Allen has had plenty of practice playing in the snow, and he pulled off a never-before-seen feat. We'll call it the TD trifecta.
Third and goal from the 7. Back to pass, has time, looks, fires to the right corner to Mac Hollins, who pulls it in for the 7-yard touchdown reception. Barefoot is beautiful. 41 seconds left in the half, and the Bills have a 20-3 lead. First and a goal from the 7. Allen under center takes the snap. Quick hitter thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable. A catch by Amari Cooper. A lateral to Josh Allen. And he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score. Have you ever seen that one before? Here's the snap. Allen back to pass, has time, steps up in the pocket, looks to tuck it and run. On his feet to the 5, and into the end zone. The Beast does it again. Josh Allen with his second rushing touchdown of the game. And the chance of MVP come up from the crowd as this one has been put to bed early.
Chris Brown with the calls on Bills Radio. We've never seen in the same game a touchdown pass, a touchdown catch, and a touchdown run by one single quarterback, which is why the chance of MVP were raining down. Now, just a quick tangent. Josh Allen also had a huge week in his personal life. If you don't know this, he proposed and was accepted by his now fiance, actor Hailee Steinfeld. They posted a photo to her Instagram account, and she's got 20 million followers, posted a photo of him down on one knee. It was not snowing. It was grassy. So He had it all orchestrated. There was water. There were candles. There was a large arch. It was covered in flowers. So Josh Allen went all out. Maybe, just maybe, flying high because he has now found his beloved for life. He goes out and he has one of the best games of the year. And this in the snow. Post game, we got snow angels. In fact, Sean McDermott was in the middle of a post game interview. I don't know if it was radio or TV. And Josh Allen comes along and interrupts it and says on TV, thank you, and says, hey, he's the one that got me to do it, meaning snow angels. So let's go, coach. And with all of his equipment on, headset, wires, everything, Sean McDermott plops down in the snow and they're doing snow angels following another win for the Bills. And a fifth straight AFC East crown. Now, we'll get back to that Josh Allen touchdown reception because it's worthy of a second listen and certainly worthy of the analysis afterwards. But Sean McDermott reveling in another division title.
Everybody put your hand up right here, man. That's one, two, three, four, five in a row of division titles, man. And 7 out of 8 years in the playoffs, man, right? 7 out of 8 years. I'm going to tell you what, man. Cherish these moments because it doesn't happen every year. It doesn't happen everywhere. And cherish each other. Look to the man on your left. Tell him you love him, man. Tell him you love him, huh?
I love that Sean McDermott speech. And he goes on to give Josh Allen a game ball, but also a game ball to the Pegulas who were there in the postgame locker room, the owners who have orchestrated what is a resurgence for these Buffalo Bills. And everybody pitching in, right? You need all these guys, considering there's been a major transition. A lot of the veterans that Bills fans are used to, they're gone. They're playing in other places or they're injured. Though I believe Matt Milano, this was his first game back last night, which was great. But the Bills, until Amari Cooper came along, they were without a number one wide receiver. James Cook has been a revelation for them this season. Until this year, he had four total touchdowns. Last season, he had more fumbles than he had touchdowns. Now he's got 11 of them, including a 65-yarder he ripped off in the snow in the first half of this one. So for San Francisco, really no answers for the Bills. They're a juggernaut and now have won. Well, they've rattled off enough wins to be able to clinch the AFC East title, and they do it in week 13 with not a whole lot of resistance. This is their seventh game in a row. They're tied for second best record in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's Chiefs and Lions who are ahead of them right now in terms of the wins and the losses. The other thing that I really like about this game and like about what we saw with the Bills is that they remain in attack mode. They're not playing down to the level of their competition. They don't take it easy on teams. No, they are all gas, no brakes, regardless of the snow, the conditions. This team is uber aggressive, and they take their cue from their quarterback, Josh Allen. So back to that moment where he is catching a touchdown pass.
First and goal from the 7. Here's the snap. Allen back. Fires left side. Cooper makes a one-handed catch. Pitches it back to Allen. Allen racing. Dives to the left pylon. And he's in! Touchdown, Bills! What a play! Allen threw it behind Cooper. He made a one-handed catch. As he was falling to the ground, he pitched it back to Allen. And Allen went diving in! That's one of the best touchdowns you'll ever see. And the Bills have taken a 27-3 lead.
That was not by design. It's a slant to Amari Cooper. He was going down. He saw Josh Allen running past him, so he lateraled it back to him. And then Josh Allen, like you've seen him do so often, went airborne Superman for the pylon. What a touchdown.
I wish he got credited for something there, an assist or a passing touchdown. But, again, I kind of threw a bad ball, so I was just kind of chasing it. I was kind of tipped around. He made a heck of a catch. Yeah. I threw it. It was just kind of sticky hand, and I just kind of chased the ball just to be there. And we made eye contact, and
that's what it was, yeah.
He just pitched it, and I had to go make a play. It was dope.
I was wondering what he was doing over there. Like, that doesn't usually happen, like, when you throw, like, a dart route like that. I just saw him. I figured he was over there because he wanted the ball, so I gave it to him.
I love that. Between these two guys, quarterback and wide receiver, each extremely talented, obviously, and but they've only played for a couple of games together. And so Amari Cooper, he gets out on the left edge. He gets the ball, but as Josh was saying, he didn't feel comfortable with the delivery, and I was likening this earlier to following your shot. On the basketball court, when a shooter releases a ball, a lot of times they can tell if it's a shot that has a chance of going in, and the shooter knows where the ball is going to come off the rim more accurately than anyone else does because it left his or her hands. And so when you follow your shot in hoops, you're often likely to get a rebound, or you get to it first before anybody else does if it's a miss. Well, here's Josh Allen, doesn't like the way the ball came out of his hands, so he follows his shot, and Cooper gets bottled up and kind of turned around by three defenders, sees Josh Allen standing behind him and is like, all right. And Josh has to go airborne to get the ball on the pylon. He was actually, it's almost like a, trying to think of the game, I guess if you're talking about like a flag football, something along those lines, where you're touch football, where you're not tackling. And so it's about getting a ball over a particular line or getting it to the goal. He just reaches the ball out. He goes airborne, he goes prone, and he reaches the ball out and tags the pylon with it. And the still photos are terrific, as are the photos of him and Sean McDermott doing snow angels after the fact. Just before we move on from this one, because we've got some other games to get to this hour, certainly a downer for the Niners. They go 5-7 now on the season. They're last place in the NFC West. Larger problem is the issue with Christian McCaffrey. So he doesn't last through the first half. He'd had some pretty impressive runs, a couple that were near 20 yards, his two longest of the season, just his fourth game of the season after he missed the first half with injury. And now it sounds like he could potentially be missing more time.
He had a great week of practice, and I could feel his urgency and stuff, and thought he came out great, looking real good. And it looked like he just got his shoestring there. He's about to break a house call, and I'm guessing he got hurt on that play. I don't know. I never got to talk to him. But, you know, hurt for him and tough for our team not having him.
So Kyle Shanahan talking about Christian McCaffrey with that great buzz behind him, what he said is that it might be, so that's the quotation, might be a season-ending PCL injury. But Christian was certainly frustrated, and it's just another one to add to the list. Though George Kittle not having it, don't give me the excuses.
It's football. Like, people go down. And we've had seasons where plenty of people have gone down, and you need someone to step up. And that's what we need. We need continually need guys to step up, and whether it's, you know, starters and players that we have that are already doing that, or new guys who are getting into the rotation, we're in the NFL for a reason. Like, all these guys have belonged in the NFL, and they have their playmaking abilities, and that's on all of us.
This is tough for the Niners, and I swear Kyle Shanahan is growing more gray hair even as we speak. So we'll see about Christian McCaffrey. It's hard to slow down a team like the Bills when you're missing Nick Bosa and you're in unfamiliar climes, but also when you're having to deal with an offense that can put up points on essentially a drive-in and drive-out basis. So Josh Allen, great week for him and the Bills. And if you want to see the photo of him down on one knee for a different reason, not taking a knee to end a game, but taking a knee to propose to his girlfriend, a very elaborate scheme. Producer Pete and I found it on the NFL Twix account, and he just did retweet it at Amy After Hours. Josh Allen is, of course, one of our candidates for Monday MVP on this December 2nd, which, psst, is also Aaron Rodgers' birthday. So you can vote for Monday MVP either there or on our Facebook page. Coming up, Patriots in that same division officially eliminated from the playoffs, though there's a lot to like with Drake May. But on the other side, you had the Colts going for the win instead of the tie. And the potential that you see in flashes with Anthony Richardson, it's impressive. But both of these teams right now with young quarterbacks hoping for brighter days and more consistency. Hope you had a great weekend. Good to hang out with you. Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shotgun snap for Richardson. Backs the throw. Looking left. Fires into the end zone. Is a touchdown.
Got him.
Touchdown, Colts.
He's going for two, Matt.
And it's Alec Pierce.
Pierce.
And he's going for two.
What great poise and precision on the pass. Anthony Richardson to Pierce in the left side of the end zone. And it's now 24-23, 12 seconds left.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It wasn't in the snow, but this was a wildly entertaining game at Gillette Stadium between the Colts and the Patriots. A wild back and forth, actually. So really a good bang for your buck if you bought the ticket or you watched the game. 7 lead changes between Indy and New England and plenty of chances for the Patriots, but they go 2 for 6 in the red zone. So I'd say the positive is you got into the red zone 6 times, still working those things out with a rookie quarterback and into rebuild mode. But if you hate to watch the punters get all the action, there were only 3 punts combined in this game. New England, though, missed a field goal, had a Drake May interception on the goal line. It was a funky one. It got popped up in the air from his receiver and caught above his receiver who was on the ground. That was in the third quarter. But yeah, Anthony Richardson, he's always a bit of a wild ride himself. So he throws an interception at midfield. But here's where it gets good. And you hear the call there with Matt Taylor on Colts radio to cap a 19-play, 80-yard drive. The Colts, in the final 5.5 minutes of this game, finally get into the end zone when Richardson fires a ball to Alec Pierce. It's on 4th down. It's a 3-yard TD catch with 12 seconds to go. So what do? You're trailing by a point. And we've seen this before, right? Do you go for the PAT and the tie, or do you force the issue and go for the win with a 2-point conversion?
Tuck and snap for Richardson. And he's trying to crash upfield.
He got
and
it.
He is.
He's in. He's
across
in.
The goal
he's
line.
In.
The 2-point conversion is good. 2 points for the Colts. An 8-point possession. Give it to your best player on offense. And he delivers. Colts back on top. 25-24. 12 ticks to go.
Ooh, that's bold. That's bold of Shane Steichen, but he likes to have the ball in the hands of his quarterback. So Anthony Richardson, he's still pretty inconsistent. He's still very raw. We see the strength, the athleticism, obviously can chuck a ball deep downfield, but we also see the mistakes and the inaccuracy. Well, in this particular case, he barreled his way into the end zone on that 2-point conversion.
I was just trying to make sure we just got the points on the board, honestly. When he told us we were going for 2, I'm like, okay, it's a chance to win it. So we had to fight and make it work.
There are still 12 seconds to go. You may have believed that the game was effectively over. And while it did end in a Colts win, it was not without some drama. So the Patriots get the ball back. They're able to take a couple of shots. So Drake May goes to Hunter Henry for 11 yards and then is able to find Henry again for another 9 yards. Now that sets up what is a long, long field goal for Joey Sly.
Snap is down. The kick is driven toward the uprights. The kick is sailing to the goalpost. The kick is just short. Sly hit it well. He hit it straight. He hit it far, but not far enough. Wow. And by the narrowest of margins, the Patriots fall to Indianapolis.
25-24 is the final. That's the call with Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio. And they're not kidding. This was extremely close. By maybe 3 or 4 feet, it would have been the longest field goal in NFL history, made field goal. And here's the thing. We are not far away from a 70-yarder being made. It will happen. That's how close Joey Sly was. And no one's pointing to him as the best kicker in the NFL. Justin Tucker, he's made a 66-yarder, probably not this year, but he's made a 66-yarder in his career. So he's the NFL record holder. We've seen guys flirting with 70 yards. This would have been 68, and it was oh so close. It was perfectly lined up and was just a few feet short. And maybe that's the deal for Gerard Mayo and the Patriots to come up short. Yeah, the what ifs, they will haunt you, especially in a year where you had some other opportunities.
Look, that's the NFL. That's the NFL. We say it every week. It's that one play here, that one play there, and that extended drive definitely hurt. And then those guys going for 2 and couldn't keep them out.
That's heartbreaking. I think our guys fought hard, did a lot of good things. So Coach Mayo just preached in the locker room. We did a lot of good things on film. Proud of the way the guys fought.
I'm proud of the defense. I thought they played their butts off.
If nothing else, the Patriots have found their quarterback. As long as Drake May stays healthy, he is taking major steps forward every single week. 24 of 30 in this one. Also ripped off a long 41-yard run among his five carries slash scrambles. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about him. And it's a team that's definitely in rebuild mode. They need to put some wide receivers around him. Obviously, the defense, they're kind of starting fresh with some recent retirements and Jerod Mayo in charge now. But I do love the boldness of Shane Steichen and the Colts and the way that he trusted his quarterback with the ball in his hands.
It's huge growth. It's huge confidence for him. It's huge confidence for our team that he can get those things done. Fourth down situations, got to have it. Put the ball in his hands again on some outside zone stuff. Just a phenomenal effort by him today.
So here are the Colts hanging around. They're still two games back in the AFC South. The Texans get a victory heading into their bye. D'Amico Ryan says they're exhausted and just need a break. So they get a victory, and this is after we see Trevor Lawrence knocked out with a concussion, and Azeez Alshire most definitely will be hearing from the NFL about the late hit. But the Texans prevail. They're at 8-5. The Colts are at 6-7. So they're still on the fringe there when it comes to playoffs. Not completely out of it, though you're seeing other teams surging. A lot will depend on what happens with the Broncos and the Browns tonight on Monday Night Football, because if the Broncos pick up win number 8, then you've got three teams in the AFC West who have at least 8 wins. The Chiefs have already clinched a playoff spot, though not a division title. And that kind of brings us back to Friday, Black Friday, where, again, the Chiefs refuse to blow teams out. If not for a late botched snap between a rookie center and Aiden O'Connell, who is just back on the field for the Las Vegas Raiders as they're trying to get into field goal range late. It was, again, miscommunication. It was a mistake. You've got moving parts. Again, a rookie and a quarterback who was on IR and is coming back from being injured. It was one that they really were frustrated about and upset about after the game. But for Patrick Mahomes, they continue to barely eke out wins, though they are 11-1.
There's just too many mistakes at the end of the day. I felt like there was times offensively we moved the ball, didn't execute in the red zone, didn't execute enough on third down. But too many mistakes. We got to clean that up if we want to get to where we want to go.
So for the Chiefs, they've clinched a playoff spot. They're the first ones to clinch a playoff spot, though the Bills now have the AFC East title. So that becomes number 2. We know that the Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, they're getting close. You've got other teams that are knocking on the door there. But yeah, for the Raiders, right now they are tied for worst record in the NFL at 2-10. What happened on that fated final possession?
You know, the clock was running down. I was trying to get the guys lined up. And we were just going to throw the ball out of bounds and run the clock down and get to fourth down and kick the field goal. And it's completely my fault. I was looking out to the right, making sure guys were set, and I started clapping to in my head, I was thinking signal the ball to get the ball. But that's when I start clapping, it tells Jackson basically snap the ball. So Jackson did exactly what he should have done, and I clapped too early. And then, yeah, just how the football bounces, you know, sometimes it didn't go our way. So, yeah, super tough. But, yeah, there's really nobody to blame but myself. So that's probably the hardest part to swallow.
Aiden O'Connell actually taking the responsibility on himself as opposed to blaming his rookie center right before that fated snap. I think it was the left guard, I think, if I'm not mistaken, tapped him on the shoulder. I think it was the guy on his left, tapped him on the shoulder, and then he snaps that football. But O'Connell wasn't looking. He was pointing directions the other way. And so it was a mistake. It was a miscommunication. It happens when you've got young guys, happens when you've got guys out of position, happens when you've got a quarterback who's returning from injury and still trying to find that rhythm and that timing again. But I do appreciate that Aiden O'Connell took it on himself when he very, well, not that he would ever blame the rookie center, but it clearly was an issue of miscommunication in the center not knowing what he was doing. Either way, another tough way for the Raiders to lose. They're officially eliminated from the playoffs, as are the New York Giants, who played on Thursday, and the Patriots, again, after falling to 3-10. a lot happening week 13, and we still have one more game to go. That's tonight between the Browns and the Broncos. This is the rivalry, by the way, that I remember when I first fell in love with the NFL. I didn't know anything about the rules. I couldn't have told you one route. I couldn't have named one route in the NFL. Wouldn't have known any of the flags that get thrown, what's pass interference. This goes back to when I was an early teenager. But I do remember the Browns and the Broncos and John Elway's days and the drive and the fumble, Ernest Biner. Those are some of the early days of this rivalry. It's not been real balanced recently, but here's a chance for the Browns to play spoiler and to get a second consecutive win. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, if you would like to see Josh Allen's elaborate spread to propose to his girlfriend, that's on our show, Twix, as is the poll for Monday MVP. Coming up, we're going to try to squeeze in that Ravens-Eagles game again, because that was one featuring your top two NFL rushers, MVP candidates, and also, I don't think Bryce Young is a bust just yet. Maybe give it a little more time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We kick off with Sunday Night Football in snowy Orchard Park.
Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. The Bills clinched their fifth straight AFC East title as they beat the Niners 35-10. Josh Allen, two touchdown passes and a touchdown run. James Cook with a 65-yard touchdown run. Niners running back Christian McCaffrey suffered a PCL injury that head coach Kyle Shanahan described as potentially season-ending.
He had a great week of practice, and I could feel his urgency and stuff, and thought he came out great, looking real good, and it looked like he just got his shoestring there. He's about to break a house call, and I'm guessing he got hurt on that play. I don't know. I never got to talk to him. But, you know, hurt for him, and tough for our team not having him.
Niners dropped to 5-7. Bills improve to 10-2. Elsewhere, Eagles over the Ravens 24-19, Rams 21, Saints 14, the Seahawks over the Jets 26-21, Commanders 42, Titans 19. In overtime, the Bucks over the Panthers 26-23. The Colts beat the Patriots 25-24, Vikings 23, Cardinals 22, Texans beat the Jaguars 23-20, the Steelers over the Bengals 44-38, Chargers 17, Falcons 13. College football, the Big Ten fined Michigan, Ohio State $100,000 each for their roles in the postgame brawl after Michigan's 13-10 win on Saturday at Ohio Stadium. Baseball, the Mets and free agent pitcher Frankie Montas reportedly agree on a two-year, $34 million deal. NBA, James Harden, a big night, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Clippers over the Nuggets, 126-122. Anthony Davis, 33 points. LeBron James adding 27. Lakers over the Jazz, 105-104. The Cavaliers improved to 18-3. Beat the Celtics, 115-111. Hockey in overtime, Canucks over the Red Wings, 5-4. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Rush four. Bryce in the pocket, steps up, eludes the rush, throws end zone, caught, Adam Thielen, touchdown, Carolina! The Panthers take the lead with 30 seconds.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, hey, those Panthers have got some fight now. I love the fact that Bryce Young is showing a different side of him, one that we hadn't seen before, but, well, not in the NFL, one that we saw at Alabama. This was the Bryce Young who was leading touchdown drives. This was the Bryce Young who was a Heisman Trophy candidate, right? This is a Bryce Young who can navigate a football field it's not been a lot of pieces around him. The offensive line has been porous at best. And think about the number of coaches and offensive coordinators and voices and systems and terminology and blah, blah, blah. But now that he's back in the starting lineup, you can really see the progress that he's made. Maybe it was those few weeks on the sidelines, kind of a reckoning, understanding that his career was hanging in the balance. But we know what Dave Canales did with the Buccaneers offense last year and now facing them as the head coach of the Panthers. By the way, 101st touchdown catch of Mike Evans' career. I love Mike Evans and the fact that he has been such a staple for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I want to mention that. But this is much later in the game. It is a moment for Bryce Young that had to feel tremendous. It kind of reminded me of the Caleb Williams touchdown drive against the Commanders. Now, remember, the Commanders won that with what was the Hail Mary that kind of blew up the NFL and social when it happened. But in the seconds before that, Caleb Williams had finally led the strong touchdown drive and Roschon Johnson had gotten across the goal line. It reminded me a little bit of that, this moment for Bryce Young and the fact that he was able to orchestrate this drive. It was 3 minutes, essentially, 9 plays, 60 yards. Now, they did leave 30 seconds on the clock after Adam Thielen hauls in that go-ahead score. There's still a little bit of time left for Baker Mayfield. He has a couple of passes. He gets them into field goal range, 2024 field goal range, and Chase McLaughlin hits a 51-yarder to force overtime. Now, here's what happens in OT. This is kind of crazy, right? They have their best foot forward to end fourth quarter, but then to start overtime, Tampa Bay misses a field goal, and then Chuba Hubbard fumbles. So the two teams are not going to, well, I'm not going to convince you that they're the Detroit Lions or the Buffalo Bills anytime soon. So on the third overtime possession, then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have another shot at the kick.
Need a good snap. The spot a little low. The kick is airborne. It is airborne. It's airborne. It is gone! Bucs win! Bucs win! Bucs beat the Carolina Panthers in overtime.
Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs Radio. I don't know why I was going to say Panthers. On Bucs Radio. And so, yes, McLaughlin gets a shot at redemption. It's a much shorter kick. It's only 30 yards. And the Bucs move to 6-6. Uh-huh. Same record as the Atlanta Falcons. I want to win the NFC South. Right now, it's just wide open. But rookie Bucky Irving, he's been terrific for the Bucs this season. A career-high 152 yards for him, plus a score, 25 carries. And I do appreciate the ability by the Buccaneers to regroup after giving up that Thielen touchdown with 30 seconds left.
Obviously, it's not the ideal situation you want to be in, but three timeouts, under a minute left to go. Let's get down in field goal range. We know we got a good kicker. Let's trust him, get down there, make it happen. And guys made great plays in that situation. You know, Mike had a catch. Shep had a couple big ones there in the end. And just people making plays, and that's what it's all about.
Well, every week we said it's a playoff game. We got to take care of us, and it's not going to be easy as it was today. It's going to be a dogfight every week. We just got to come ready to play and make less mistakes, and our heart's into it. We got to clean up some things. We know that, but it's hard to win in this league. We'll take a win any way we can get it.
Yeah, no doubt, especially since technically they are in first place in the NFC South for now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Bryce Young and the Panthers, remember how close they were to upsetting the Chiefs? Now they nearly take one from a division opponent in Tampa Bay. It sucks to lose, but you can see the steps forward.
We know we're there, but that's, you know, there aren't any moral victories. There aren't any. It's a win or a loss, and we didn't get it done. So I think we all just we all have that bitter feeling, and we got to get back to it tomorrow and learn from it.
I agree with Bryce Young. There are no moral victories, but I will say it's too early to label him a bust. So peel off that label if you already smacked it on him, because coaching makes a difference, right? Sam Darnold, coaching makes a difference. We're seeing that with Minnesota. Okay, let's work in a little bit more from Eagles-Ravens as we head toward the top of the hour. This obviously billed as a battle between the two top running backs in the NFL, Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Now, Henry doesn't go over 100 yards in large part because that Philly defense had some teeth. On Sunday, did you happen to see the moment where the rookie Cooper DeJean had a pile drive of Derrick Henry backward? How many guys in the NFL would even bother to try that with Derrick Henry, much less actually do it? But the moxie of this rookie that they love so much in Philadelphia. And they were waiting all day for Saquon Barkley to finally break loose.
Hurts, this time to Barkley, off the right side, breaks the tackle. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Saquon Barkley, he's broken, 25 yards. Fourth and 9, the football at their own 41. The Eagles will have great field position if they can stop them. Hill is in, not Henry. Jackson in the gun. He's back. Here goes Jackson. He's looking, still looking. Steps up. He lets it fly. It's incomplete, almost intercepted. In the hands of Tristan McCollum. And the Eagles take over on downs.
Saquon goes for over 100, and so he gets the upper hand when it comes to that running back battle. But the Eagles defense really slams the door there late. And for the Ravens, while they do have a couple of touchdown passes from Lamar Jackson, they're not able to establish the run as well with Henry. They had other guys who were running. In fact, they had 166 rushing yards, but just not capitalizing on those opportunities. And it hurts when Justin Tucker misses three kicks for the first time in a game. But to be fair, you're asking, now this is something Tucker, I think, can do. Right now it's mental with him. It's clear. It's not like he's missing all the kicks the same way. He's missing them left. He's missing them right. They're hooking. Then they're pulling. I mean, he's got the yips. It's mental with him. He doesn't know what's wrong, which is what he said after the game. And John Harbaugh has indicated, we're not going to find anybody better now. He's still our best shot. We still have faith in him. But to be fair, if you were doing what you're supposed to be doing with your offense and capitalizing on your red zone opportunities, well, then you're not having to rely on whether or not your kicker, who's having his worst year of his career, is accurate enough to put a 53-yarder through. So I get that it's frustrating, but you waste 166 rushing yards, even though Derrick Henry didn't have quite the classic day, but Lamar certainly had room to run. You waste a terrific touchdown from Mark Andrews, and the Eagles deserve a ton of credit for beating another team with a winning record. So here's Saquon Barkley now, who's got nearly 1,500 yards and still five games to go. Derrick Henry, he's over 1,400.
I got so much respect for Derrick. And you know, the things he's accomplished so far this season in his career, he's going to go down as one of the best backs to ever do it. But, you know, as a competitor, yeah, you want to go out there and play at a high level, but ain't basketball. Ain't like I can go out there and tackle Derrick Henry. And to be honest, I don't know if I really want to tackle Derrick Henry. But
who
most
would?
Important thing is, you know, team win.
Saquon is definitely MVP worthy, as is Derrick Henry. And this is a battle to watch, a race to watch through the rest of the season. Saquon, one of our candidates for After Hours Monday MVP, though he's got some stiff competition. Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback for the Commanders, 4 total touchdowns on Sunday. They took the Titans out behind the woodshed, 28-0 they started out. How about Russell Wilson? A season-high 414 yards, if I remember correctly, only the third time in his career he's ever gone over 400 yards passing. The Steelers with a statement victory again, both offense and defense. And then Josh Allen with the TD trifecta in the blizzard to usher in December. It's almost poetic. We'll talk to you tonight. Enjoy Monday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.